Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad David Wells is here. David's a new friend. He's the founder and CEO of Family Capital Strategy. He helps families manage their wealth and helps them help it endure to the succeeding generations. He's the author of When Anything Is Possible, Wealth and the Art of Strategic Living, and that's his deal, is helping people strategize how to make their wealth sustainable. David Wells, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book. David, one of the things that the reason why what we're talking about today is so important and timely is we are literally at the epicenter, at ground zero, for one of the biggest eras of wealth transfer in the history of America. The largest demographic cohort, baby boomers, are literally in the whirlwind, in the eye of the storm of making decisions about what to do with whatever we've got. If we got a nickel to pass on or $1 billion to pass on. There are tens of millions, you know, almost 80 million of us who are making these decisions. A lot of that, and there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of misinformation. Help us out.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And when the researchers looked at it, they estimated that almost $43 trillion in assets will change hands over kind of the tail end of the years of the baby boomer.
Wow.
And that's the largest transfer in the history of time, of wealth. So then the question is, how do you do that well? And then how do you make sure that the folks that are receiving that wealth, are benefited and not screwed up by it?
Right.
It's a complicated problem.
That's the thing that every parent, every grandparent, is in the middle of thinking about right now, who's of that age, and that is, how do I help my children, and how do I make sure that my help doesn't hurt them? Because some, you know, that's one of the things I've learned in my long life. There have been times when I wanted to help someone, you know, maybe unrelated to me, just a person, and I thought I could help them. It turns out they would have been better off if I'd left them alone. So I learned that lesson, David. What do you think?
Yeah, there's that old saying that what first is a gift, second, next, the next time it comes around becomes an expectation, and the third time it becomes an entitlement.
That's right.
And so, you know, behavior is so sensitive to, and, you know, the economists talk about permanent income, but it's this idea that, you know, what we think is going to be part of our either our personal balance sheet, or if mom and dad have written us a check every year, after a couple of times, you just start thinking that that's a permanent thing.
Right.
And so you're exactly right. You've got to go in eyes wide open and carefully before you make any decisions.
Well, one thing about it, if you do something to earn whatever you have, it means more, it has more value. You'll guard it better. You'll make better decisions about it. But if it came to you for free, then it's popcorn, right?
It is, and that brings up that kind of yucky word entitlement, which is, you know, anytime you start talking about giving to future generations, we know that's the outcome that we want to avoid, and so it's how do you pass on to future generations if that's where you want to go, but then how do you prepare the inheritor, prepare that next generation to receive really the labor that you created, the hard work that you invested that created the wealth that could be passed on.
Mm-hmm.
How do you prepare them so that they're ready to receive that as such?
What lessons have you learned? I know you're an advisor to people, but I also am sure that you've worked for some pretty wise folks, some pretty wise, wealthy people. How do you, what have you learned from them?
Absolutely. And so I have a really unique feat professionally where I don't manage assets, but I work on an advisory basis as a consultant with wealthy individuals and wealthy families, and really help them think about the long-term implications of their planning and their choices. Uh-huh. And what I've learned from them is really kind of two things. One is this, typically when you begin to think about future generations, you're going to use what's called a trust. Uh-huh. And so you hear, for trust funds or things like that. And there's a lot of legal reasons why that instrument makes sense. But understanding that the trust is a legal document with a human relationship, that there is a real brass tack implication for the beneficiary of that trust. So understanding that is super important. And then the second piece is recognizing that it is really hard to talk about money. But when you look at the research, the folks who inherit wealth well and it's received beneficially, the first step on that path is the communication path. And so it's learning to talk about some things that feel either uncomfortable or feel like, we don't talk about money in polite company generally.
Right.
That's kind of on the list of, it's considered taboo. Learning to build that muscle so that, your future generations get comfortable with your estate plan, what they're going to inherit, if there are differences between siblings.
Right.
I mean, you've got this choice of do you want to control that conversation and explain your thinking, or do you want the lawyer who reads the will after you're passing to be the one having that dialogue?
And that very process, though, also creates controversy because sometimes it comes across as mama's trying to control our lives from the grave.
Yes.
I mean that's where some bitterness, when we leave the graveyard and we're not bitter, but when we open up the paperwork, people become bitter because mom says, I'm going to control you forever, and they use trust for that. So trusts are very valuable, very helpful. They're real legal documents, legal functioning entities, and that's what I want to talk about when we come back, David. And another thing that I want to point out to people is money. And I mean, wealth is not the same thing as being rich, right? I mean, having some money is not the same thing as being wealthy, right?
Absolutely, yes.
And I'm gonna get David to define that. We're gonna talk about some of the simplest trusts that you can develop and how to get that started after the break. David Wells is our guest. He's the founder and CEO of Family Capital Strategy. He's the author of the new book, When Anything Is Possible. David C. Wells, Jr. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassing. Here's CCR to take us out. Born on the bayou.
Born on the bayou. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.